taking on the world today. You're by my side, it helps to be crazy. Taking on the world today, hey, hey.
Welcome to the Without Limits podcast, where we discuss running, endurance, sports, nutrition, race directing events, and ways to improve your life physically, mentally, and spiritually, all from the perspective of the endurance athlete. Today, we're going to discuss mental fatigue with no better person than a psychologist and a clinical social worker. Welcome, Tracy Hilsman, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Tracy is a 14-year licensed clinical social worker, and her private practice includes military, hospice, public and private schools. She specializes in anxiety, depression, relationship issues, and grief. She also enjoys running and all activities outdoors. And I actually met Tracy through my wife, who had a wonderful relationship with her dealing with some postpartum issues. And I was always I would always catch her at the end of a conversation and chit chat. So I thought I'd call her up and sort of go over some of the things that I personally had been dealing with, not really as a client, but just as a podcast, because I knew a lot of my athletes were running into mental fatigue, dealing with coronavirus, just the uncertainty of so many things, uncertainty of events. But for many of you, my listeners, you know that I had surgery back in November. Basically, I had to start from ground zero. And then after that, our whole event industry was shut down from COVID, and we had to really work hard to cancel, postpone, and reinvigorate and kind of redo all of our events that piled up all in April. So as I was recovering from surgery and trying to get back into fitness myself and get my body back in shape, I struggled a lot with the mental fatigue because I was so tired from work, I guess. Work, kids, life. So my sense to want to push hard in workouts and actually get out there or care about competition sort of, I don't know, it just got put in like a back burner almost. So I'm going to hand it over to Tracy and just ask her one simple question. What's the definition of mental fatigue and how can it affect an athlete, you know, such as me during, you know, times of crisis, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, so I would say that mental fatigue is defined by, it's a reduced state of alertness, and it can impair your performance, as you well know. It also impacts your processing, which is pretty much everything, right? Even your reflexes are slowed when you're stressed. I'm sure that you have experienced some of that too. And then to kind of talk about, you said, how does it affect athletes? Well, in all sorts of ways, but marathons actually require just as much mental effort as sitting down to write a 50-page paper. And according to some studies, the actual energy available to a person during strenuous exercise comes from your brain strength, not your physical strength. And so it can impair your ability to maintain the task that you're on. And so if you're all over the place, your performance level won't be to an adequate level, and your perception is also impaired.
That's crazy. A 50-page paper, a marathon. She said, you know, a marathon. Tracy's on the phone, so, you know, sometimes the audio can come in a little fuzzy, but so far it's been pretty clear. But just for those of you, just for perspective, that a marathon takes as much mental focus as a 50-page paper. So I don't know the last time I wrote a 50-page paper. It's pretty crazy, but I do know, and I've seen clients of mine that were in industries that were majorly affected by COVID. So we had, people in the medical field, we had people in the restaurant field. And so a lot of them continued to try to train through that. And then on top of that, the races that they were training for either got postponed or canceled. And some people would generally just say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't have it. So I guess the question to you is, can you ease their mind explaining to them that this is normal?
Well, I would say it's normal, especially. So I think that we were designed for, we were designed for order and consistency. And with COVID, that was very dysregulated. There was no more sense of normal for us. And all of our patterns were thrown off course. And so with that, I think at first people thought it was exciting and it was sort of a time to rest. But then it got to be, wait, I don't know what to do with myself. And I think the burnout that was before COVID was still there after COVID. We just weren't as aware of it until we slowed down and actually noticed it. And also, I want to say that I think I read that that in just the year 2020, there was a 24% increase in burnout from the year before, which is incredible because more people seem to be working from home and would seem to have more control over their time. But there was that much of an increase in our burnout rate.
Gotcha. So it's mental fatigue to me. It didn't seem like I've had stressful days, where, I can sleep on it and I get over it, but so this extended period of time that we've had, like you said, it started out as like, oh, it was, exciting. I'm not sure that's the right word, but it's almost like when a storm comes, everybody's kind of in, crazy chaos, a hurricane comes and everybody stops working for a few days. But this was a year or more, and still going on in some places, obviously. And obviously things are looking brighter, but a year or more of just constant change and having to try to adapt, and then order was turned into chaos again once more. So how do you turn it around when you're in that state? I think that's a lot of the listeners' questions is, okay, I hear Tracy and Tom, I hear that this is a real thing. How do I get out of it?
So, well, first of all, you'd want to try to remove the stressor if you can, which we can't really do much about COVID. So we need to figure out ways to adjust to what we're calling the new normal, so to speak. Hopefully we're on the downward slope of this COVID stuff. But most importantly, you need to give yourself permission to rest. I think that with COVID, we spent a lot of energy trying to figure out how to do things a new way, because the old way we were just so accustomed to and used to that it was natural for us. This, COVID turned us into, okay, I've got to adapt. And so I have to think more. I have to use my cognitive abilities more to figure out how to do this. So you have to be realistic about how much you can do. And a lot of times we're not, especially athletes who are very motivated and driven. And I think more importantly too, you need to reduce your excess sensory input. A lot of us have too much sensory overload happening in our days, and that really can trigger you and cause a lot of burnout.
Okay. So, for me, for instance, April, I'll give an example to the listeners here. What happened to me in April, I basically had a Southern Tour Ultra, which is one of my big trail events, happened in the beginning of April. The next weekend was our biggest event of the year, which had less participants this year because of COVID, but it was the New Hanover Regional Medical Center Wilmington Marathon. Then we had one weekend off to just try to download those two races. And then we went right into White Lake Half, which is our first year partnership with a company that puts that race on. So between those three, is three races in 4 weeks. And then I was trying to do some of my workouts and actually ended up doing a sprint triathlon and didn't care at that stage. At that moment, I didn't feel like I wanted to suffer. I didn't feel like I wanted to go through what I know the necessary steps are to train. It kind of like got to the point where like, oh, I'm just going to kind of stay back, because all I could think about really doing was sitting on a hammock and drinking a beer. I mean, that's where, and the crazy part of that is I spent 24 weeks time off last year when I had a tear in my adductor. And all I wanted to do was get back out there. So you can see this tug of war. I couldn't really understand at the moment, like, gosh, why am I should be more motivated than ever right now to get back into this. And, 5 months ago, I was out. So there's obviously where's an imbalance there, but for people out there, how do they recognize that imbalance better? Because obviously now I've rested and now I feel great again. I'm ready to go. I want to get up in the morning. I want to push hard. And all it took was a couple weekends of rest, a couple weeks. It actually took me about 2 full weeks before I started feeling kind of revitalized. So I guess there's two questions there. How do you recognize it? And then secondly, what is the, is it personal time frame to get out of this? Like, is there like a, hey, it's going to take you 2 weeks or 3 weeks to sort of get the mind and the body rested again? Or should people expect it to happen in 24 hours?
Well, that is a great question. And you may already know this, but there are stages of burnout. And there are studies that say there are 5 stages, 3 stages, but there are some, and I would encourage people to look into that a little bit. But we naturally ignore the signs until they become critical. And I feel like with you, it's possible your lack of motivation probably is an indicator that you were at one of those last stages of burnout. And, you know, we naturally try to push that out and say, no, I'm going to push through. But when actually, if you're paying attention, you'll have an awareness of these changing behaviors and patterns. And that's when you need to practice the mindfulness. You need to give yourself that permission to rest, recognize your limitations and say, this is too much for me. I've done too much. I need to slow down. And if you practice that daily mindfulness and meditation, then you will become more aware of those senses that you have to say, okay, I need to pump the brakes. I'm at my, you know, 3rd stage of burnout. I need to recognize this so I can turn around. But if you have gone past it, and like you said, you spent a couple weekends to rejuvenate yourself, that's great. I would say that it would be different for everyone. The time frames in that, your capacity for stress, it's different for everybody. So I think it would really be determined on your capacity for stress and where you are in that burnout stage.
Yeah, it's funny. Like now I look back and I'm like, I could do it again. I could do it again if I needed to. I proved myself that I could do it. But when you're in that moment, you're sort of, your guard is on the border. You know, I had full attention to everything. I was prepared for everything. But what I did notice is physical symptoms. I had physical symptoms during this time. I could not get rid of lower back pain from lifting and laborious stuff along with the stress. So like I knew, and then right away when I got out of, when I completed and accomplished those 3 events, it all kind of just, it went away. It's almost like I was focused so on that stuff and I wasn't getting enough sleep because I was working so much to try to keep up with the normal, what a normal year would be when the events are spread out. So how do physical symptoms manifest? I know a lot of people with anxiety and depression have physical symptoms that are manifested in different areas, and then they wonder what's wrong with them. So like, why does that happen? And how do, like, what's the difference between physical symptoms of something that people think, hey, there's something wrong with me, and or I'm actually just in stress overload?
Well, I think mental fatigue can reduce your body's ability to be aware of your body's feedback. So if you were dehydrated, you might not notice because it's impeded that, right? Your body's feedback, it's telling us something. And so I think that when we get so dysregulated, it can interfere with that. And then we don't know what to do. And then that gets to that critical stage we were talking about. But I think it's also okay to say, you know, this is okay. And like you said, you pushed yourself and you said, oh, see, it's okay. I can do this. You don't want to do that very often. But I think it's good that you became aware of the mental stress causing the physical stress, because then you knew how to handle it for next time. So, but yes, to answer your question a little bit better, the physical symptoms are definitely a manifestation of the stressors in our brain, because that we need to be more aware of what's in our brain before we notice the physical stuff, if that makes sense.
So if there were 3 key things you would tell somebody, like an alarm or a red flag, that hey, you need to cool it, otherwise you're going to go into the trouble zone, right? Of either physical and mental burnout, like those stages, like you talked about. What should people look for without getting anxious about the anxiety? You know, there's that too. There's people get like athletes, especially they focus on like, oh my gosh, I hope this doesn't happen to me because I know what could possibly happen. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a catch 22.
For sure. And I think that everybody's different. I think that you know what your capacity is because everybody has a different size tank for that, so to speak. So only each individual person would know that personally. But I think that if you spent time really knowing your body and knowing your mind, which we should be doing on a regular basis, and if you are consistently doing that, then I think that you will know when you get to that point or reach that, say, third stage of burnout that says, hey, this is a critical point. It's coming. You need to slow down. You need to stop and reassess and check in with yourself regularly. I think that athletes that are, say, training for a marathon, do they really stop and check in with themselves to know? Because if you're checking in with yourself, you'll be more aware of those physical symptoms before they get back to the point where it's hard to turn around from.
So we talk about, like, I focus a lot on training the body. Obviously we try to do periodization, you know, 2 weeks up, 3 week build cycles and a micro, macro and mesocycles, different things like that. So a lot of times athletes are focused on the physical game of athletics. And obviously we know that the mental is, in some cases you hear it's 80% mental, 20% physical, or whatever the percentages are. How do you train your brain? What would be your maybe top two or three ideas for people to train themselves to, you know, reduce cortisol levels, reduce stress and anxiety and mental fatigue, and try to, you know, keep themselves in check?
Well, I would say brain health is more important than any other health, because you have, what is this? It's 32,000, 30,000 thoughts per day, I think it is, the average person has. So of those thoughts, researchers say the vast majority of them are negative, and our illnesses are a direct result of the toxic thought life. And so, of course, if that's true, then your physical health, your endurance, let's say, is going to be affected by that. So you really need to spend a lot of time focused on your thoughts. And in order to do that, you need to be aware of them. And that's where mindfulness, self-awareness, and meditation practices come in. A lot of people say yoga is the best thing for mental health, and I totally agree with that. So if you're looking for the physical side, we'll also, you know, making sure that you're taking care of your mental side, then yoga is a great thing to try. But that's what I would recommend fully, is to make sure your brain health is in check. And what does your thought life look like? What's in there? What's in your brain? Are you taking those thoughts captive regularly that are negative?
Yeah. So that's great. How about somebody who is improving, they're making strides towards betterment, but they constantly go out, and even though they have a great workout, or they've done the job, or they've improved themselves, they can still come out with negative thoughts and emotions about that because of mental fatigue. Oh, I didn't feel like I did great today, or I didn't feel the best today. And it's always the latter instead of leaving and saying, I did my best today. You know what I mean? Like, there's that. And I think that comes a lot with mental fatigue too, in past history, when there's a little bit of burnout going on, and it's like they want to do well, but they're always in that comparison against themselves mode. What's the best self-talk method for that? How do you overcome something like that?
Well, I would first want to ask the person about their thoughts about perfection versus excellence, because if you're striving for perfection, you'll never get there. But if your thoughts are, okay, I'm going to strive for excellence, you strive for excellence, that bar never moves. If you strive for perfection, you'll always be chasing a moving bar. And so I would really ask myself those questions and make sure the person knows the difference between the two. Because if you're always striving for perfection, you're never going to feel that satisfaction. You must rewire the brain to think in a healthy way so that when you do have mental fatigue, you have those reserves available to go to say, here's the truth. This is what's true about me. And then I'll be okay.
That's great. Great feedback for those out there that deal with that, because I know, you know, even, you know, myself, I'm going to be 38, which is, I guess, in my eyes, if when I was 20, 38 seemed old. Now I'm 38. Now it's young, right? So, but as I get older, you know, there's of course things that, you know, you're looking back of what you used to be able to do. And I think for me, just getting back to being an all around good athlete. I mean, if I never improved again in the sport, which I know I definitely can, but I think just being able to get out there and work hard and compete is a great thing. But I have noticed, and that was the whole spark for this podcast, was the mental fatigue aspect. As I get busier, as my kids get older, I mean, Gracie will be 6, Lily will be 3. I mean, they're getting into critical stages too, where they need dad. And it's, for me, it's like, I need to focus my attention there. And so bandwidth is my next question. We only have so much bandwidth. So what would be your advice to an athlete be to say, okay, my bandwidth is full. I can't do my workout today because I've got my kids. And how do you not feel guilty about that? Like, what's a go-to, you know what I mean? When athletes would feel guilty about not getting their workout in, but they're also feel not guilty about not playing with their kids and focusing on their kids or their family, whatever it is. Advice on that?
Yes. And I think that people are asking themselves this all the time, including me, but it is hard to find what we call the balance. But I think that you have to be realistic about your daily goals, not your weekly goals or your monthly goals or your yearly goals, but your daily goals. Be realistic about that. What can you achieve? What can you accomplish today? And when you're 38, you can't do what you can when you're 20. And so you would probably reevaluate what those goals are today, as far as endurance and your best times and all of those things. But I think there are going to be days where you don't get your workout in, but your kids are the priority. And that's okay. And I think it's just getting your mindset to a place of giving yourself that permission to fail, giving yourself permission to rest and prioritize the things that are most important to you. Because when you're 20, you probably don't have children to take care of. You don't have as many responsibilities. And so I think that it's just a matter of reaching those daily goals and being satisfied enough at the end of each day with that, and being more realistic with your time.
Last question, rest, meditation, and mindfulness. We've heard a lot about those words. And I actually like to tell my athletes that those are workouts. Your workout isn't just showing up to the track and doing a workout or the pool or getting on your bike or whatever it is, going to the gym. It's rest and is training your brain, like we kind of talked about before. What does that do? What does sleeping 7.5+ hours do to your brain? What does mindfulness do to your brain? And what is meditation? What do those things actually physically do to your brain to change it?
Well, with the adequate amount of rest and meditation, it will increase your cognitive abilities. It will help you make decisions and have better impulse control. You would be more in touch with your body and what it's doing and what it's telling you. And those, to me, are the most important things.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because this morning I woke up at 4:30. I did my workout, and I've been working this morning. I went to Lily's concert, and then I came home and I did some more work. And then I had your podcast at 2:00. And before the podcast, I was like, hey, I better go do my meditation. I do these binaural beats on my phone. And I, you know, for about 30 minutes, I closed my eyes and I was sort of in and out of consciousness. I woke up, had a half a cup of coffee, and I feel like almost renewed just from that little bit. And so I've told my athletes before, hey, sometimes just 20 minutes closing your eyes, you know, kind of fading out, get out off the screen time for a second. What's your take on that? Just those 10 or 15 or 20 minute, you know, breaks from life. What does that do to the brain as well for those out there who might want to dabble their toes into the meditation and mindfulness?
Well, it fills your tank. And if your tank is full, you have more ability to do those other things better. If you have an empty tank and you're trying to run on the reserves, then you get to that critical point we talked about in the burnout stages. And so, of course, we want to do everything to the best of our ability, but we do have limitations that we cannot do everything all at once all the time. And so it's just spending that time, 10 minutes even, they say, studies show 10 minutes of meditating can change the way you think and the way you act. It can change your mood. And with technology today, there's no shortage of apps available for those things. You know, the Calm app is a good one. There are even sleep apps that will tell you sweet stories to help you get to sleep. So we're not lacking in the resources in that area. So no one should not be doing that, in my opinion.
That's awesome. Tracy, how do people get in touch with you?
You can email me at Tracy, TracieMSW@gmail.com.
That's awesome. I'll put that in the description of the podcast in case you think Tracy would be somebody you'd want to talk to about these subject lines. I know a lot of people out there could always use just a little conversation with somebody who can explain to them mental things that might be going on in their lives. I know just the short chit chat that I get to, you know, have, or I've had to Tracy in the past is always a nice refresher on, you know, giving yourself, like you said, permission to rest. In some cases, you just need to hear that. I know with my athletes, a lot of times it's not me pushing them. It's me holding them back, because a lot of type A people will keep burning the candlestick at both ends. So thank you, Tracy, so much. And you can check out our podcast and the rest about our company at www.iamwithoutlimits.com. Y'all have a great summer.